wasted life. Most of us with all these kind of titles, you should know this is a retreat. So I'm taking something from the Old Testament or something where the wasted life. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Very common. You're common. Used to it. Says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creation or to every creature. He that believes and is baptized is saved. He that believes not is damned. Hallelujah. And so, the most important activity to God is the things around or is around the gospel. The important things to God are the things done for the gospel. Sometimes you get out of the way. Get out of the way. Do quite a number of things. But whatever program you are holding, your camp meetings, your believers meetings, your ensure there are things around the gospel. And that's why you observe that every believer's meeting, I will share that the reason why we would have a believer's meeting is for evangelism. So you are, what will happen is that you are now made bold to speak. No. Look at that in Acts 4, when they were threatening the poet, that says they were full filled with the Holy Ghost, and they now spoke the word of the Lord with boldness. Acts 4:31. When people get filled, you now speak the word. In Acts 2, they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues. Acts 2:4. And then in verse 14, Peter now stood up to preach. So the things, in all our meetings, you must know that what is the most important to God are the things done for the gospel. So you go and eat the world and preach. That's the mandate. There's a mandate. And that mandate is called the gospel of Christ. So we sing the song, we cover the earth with gospel of Christ on our lips. Every stronghold is broken. Every life is changed. We cover the earth with His glory. You know, because that is the mandate. So you ask yourself, what are you doing for the gospel? What are you doing with the gospel? What are you doing around the gospel? Hallelujah. The people you respect, the people you honor, is it because of the gospel? Hallelujah. You must honor people, not because of who they are, but because of the gospel, what they do for the gospel. That's how to honor. Anyone who opposes the message of Christ, anyone who is a teacher, anyone who is responsible for men, for the spiritual good of men, those are the people you honor first, because of what they do for the Lord. It inspires you to do more. See? And so the first thing is to believe the gospel. You will say, what's most important to God are the things around the gospel. So the first thing is now to believe it. You believe the gospel. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing of the gospel. Because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And earlier on, he already tells you what the word of God is. He said, you're not saying your heart. That you say your heart and then you confess with your mouth. Romans 10:10. And so faith comes by the hearing of the gospel. So you believe the gospel. That's the first thing. Second thing is that you now live the gospel. Say live. Not a will. Live like this. L-I-V-E. How you put it now. You live the gospel. The gospel is the message of God's love. And so you live that out. Let it be a part of your life. Love. And so you show love. Praying for someone else to die is not love. What Jesus taught is you love your enemies. Matthew 5:44. Bless them that curse you. So you don't pray for someone to die. If you remove the love of God and forgiveness from the gospel, there's no gospel. If you remove God's love and forgiveness from the gospel, there's no gospel. Which gospel you get? That is the gospel. Romans 5:8 says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, that love that God showed us must reflect on others. Colossians 3:13. He says, if you have a quarrel with Colossians 3:13, if you have a quarrel with any or another, it is forgiven. That's what Christ did for us. You know, forgiveness makes anger and bitterness impossible. I mean, you can literally rule out anger and bitterness from your life just by learning to forgive. Forgiveness is sacrifice. Sometimes you are on the right side. The person is the wrong one. Yet you choose to forgive. And so you believe the gospel, you live the gospel, and you preach the gospel. You preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To which God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the sins against them. And so you preach. The moment, the very day you receive Christ, you got the right to preach. Hallelujah. You preach the gospel. Again, I call it the wasted life. Hallelujah. You believe, you live, you preach the gospel. Go into the world. Go therefore, Matthew 28:19, and teach other nations. Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in my name. Hallelujah. Then, number four, you now live for the gospel. Can we continue the list again? You what? You believe the gospel. You live the gospel. You preach the gospel. Then you now live for the gospel. No one will live for the gospel with regret. No. See, let me say this. That whatever you do to satisfy a man can never bring true joy. It can't bring true joy. Do you live for the gospel? Do you live for the gospel? In Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by our adversaries, which is then evident token of perdition, then to you salvation by our God. Can we read that 29 together? For unto you it is given a behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. Hallelujah. Not only to believe, but to suffer for the sake. So we have a common mandate together. If there's something that is common to all of us seated here this morning, it is a mandate. Not only to believe, but to now live for the gospel. Obviously, our careers are not the common things to us. Hallelujah. Our career is not the common. The choice of schools is not common. Everybody here went to different places. And who that went to Futo? And who that went to you are Futa. Futu. We see a Futa. And Futu. If you are choosing to just replace viewers. You know, Futre. You are going to very strange schools. Our church of schools, what is it? Tell me of a church that was as a. It's 60% church, 40% school. Hallelujah. Our choice of football club is not the same, obviously. Now you have chosen to side with you have gone with the wrong side. Hallelujah. It's like devils. Hallelujah. That's not what is common to us. But for ladies, the choice of the man you like. I'm not saying brotherly love. There's brotherly love for all the brothers. You know? But there's a kind of person in your mind. Where are the beds? Where's the beds? You know? And people say, I don't want the beds. It's dirty. I don't know. The choice is not the same. Hallelujah. But the like guys, let me talk. But people are acting like, no, we cover the head. What is common to us all is the gospel. In that one, we are not given options. The only thing we have to do is to live for the gospel. The gospel demands us to live for it. I love the way the writer of Hebrews puts it in Hebrews 12:1. It says, let us run the race that is set before us. Let us run the race. There's a race to run. There's a race to run. That word race actually is a word, a gap, a distance. So there's a gap that demands us to run for it. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul describes it in a way. 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." And he was explaining how we are servants for the gospel's sake. In verse 23, he says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker thereof with you." And he says, "Run that you may obtain." 1 Corinthians 9:23-24. So we are in a race. We're competing with ourselves. We're competing with our own desires to run for the Lord. Learn something. Learn something. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, Paul puts it in a special way again. He calls us soldiers. Soldiers. 2 Timothy 2. He says, verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worketh entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." 2 Timothy 2:4. It typifies us, it describes us as soldiers. So the gospel is not something you can handle like a hobby. It's not something you do on days you feel good. "I just feel good today. I think I'll come for outreach." The gospel demands us, demands our everyday living. It's a war. It's a race. You know, if you're at war, there's a demand on you. You don't say, at war, you don't say, "Shooting gun is not my hobby." Ah, then dying must be your hobby. Hallelujah. Serving the Lord is not an hobby. It's a work. It's living for the gospel. Many of us need to take a decision to live for the gospel. You know, to some people coming to church on Sunday is still stress. Doing what you are meant to do is stress. In fact, the day you run an errand driving for church or something, you feel like you have done God a favor. You have done God a favor. Hallelujah. So we have to live for the gospel. You have anybody you are teaching God's word? You have anybody you are raising up to be a preacher of the gospel too? You have anybody you are actively teaching, discipling, or you are too big? You are too big. Are you living for the gospel? There are questions you must ask yourself. Someone died for you. He gave himself to you. The least you can do is to live for him. He will say, "Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you alone." And you don't have people are meeting. And you say, "You live for him alone." Every step that I don't take any step. Go and pray first. Every breath, he says, every breath, don't bother breathing. And preach first. Live for the gospel. Tell your neighbor, live for the gospel. It's fun doing this to tell your neighbor. Tell the person you are sitting with, live for the gospel. Say that you mean, live for the gospel. So we are in a world where people generally value things monetary. So money, things you can buy. You see a brother with he brought a car to church. Probably, a Rolls Royce. He said, wow, the Lord has done it. No, you are living a life of faith. No. I want to be like you. You are saying that. I just want to be like you. It's the Lord. You know the way the Nigerians say it. You work for the money. No, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's not the Lord now. It's the Lord that bought it. You bought it. That brother is shining. No. The Lord is working. No, the word of God is working. See, the word is working. It's working in his life. Then you see another brother. That one has no disciple. No disciple. There's another brother with his shoes pointing towards the Lord. You know, this is what I call the gospel of peace, God. Evangelism material. The shoe that you can sweep the street. And he's coming. And he came with a bus to church, full of his disciples. And he said, okay, go upstairs, go upstairs. And you look at the shoe. He said, don't worry. The work of God will work in your life. To work. It's a work. I believe in you. You are not shining yet, but who is actually shining? No, we need to ask for yourself. The other brother with the Rolls Royce. After service, the only thing you see, we just be shaking his keys like this. You know, the way the panache. Yeah. Can I see the pastor? No, you can't. Who do you think you are? I heard that there's a giving for a church project. Hey, Dada, listen to tapes, yeah? I listen to tapes first. That's it. Then, he can't, he doesn't even have money to buy the books. If there are books. Can I get that book and I'll pay next week? You will read it. Yeah, that one will get the books. You just drive out. 10,000 naira. Just share it. I don't know. Buy anyone. He's not going to read it. They just remain in his house. The people that will read the books are spiders. Hallelujah. Spider, cockroach. They will gather around. Looking at what we have in Christ. Well, you know, but the fact that I say, I'll pay next week, we read it. And there's a very subtle attitude that believers can have and think the other Rolls Royce guy is the one living for the gospel. No, it's not true. Hallelujah. We must stop. It's time we stop celebrating worldliness. Stop celebrating worldliness. Don't care how much is in your account. Are you living for the gospel? Are you living for the gospel? Are you striving for it? Are you running the race? In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, let's read what Paul wrote together. I want for you. Are you done now? Let's read together. Where do you go? For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to do here. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Strong words. Strong. Very strong. Woe unto me. Woe unto me. I don't know how to put it, but you know, it's as strong as we need that for me. It's as strong as that. Now he's saying, it will not be well for me if I don't preach the gospel. Ha! How many of us can boldly say that? It's like, now he's saying, it will not be well with me if I don't preach the gospel. That's what Paul is saying. And that I already told the church of Philippi, for me to believe is Christ. To die is gift. And see, he says, that I wish to actually depart now. But because of your wisdom, his life is around the gospel. He is living for the gospel. That the gospel has determined his purpose for living. The wasted life. Hallelujah. In Matthew 26, let's just go to that place. That's the main text. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. Look at that. The woman, verse 7, she had an alabaster box. A very precious ointment. Historically, you don't have to take this as a doctrine. Historically, it's recorded that this was a savings. A year's savings, actually. Imagine someone saving a salary for a year. You know, the way you keep gold, the way you keep money in a gold format or, what else do you keep money as? Apart from currency. Gold. Jewelry. Shares. Imagine how she kept it as an ointment. A year saving. And when Jesus came, you know what she did? She just poured everything. She poured it. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. In the Greek, it was actually, she wasted it on him. She wasted it on him. In the natural, you'd have asked the woman, what are you doing? Imagine someone bringing the house alive. And says, well, take it. If you are his friend, He's slain. It is. He does not pay on April 1st. He pays another day.
Are you mad? Are you okay? What are you doing? What is this you are doing? That's the way that Jesus' disciples also reacted. They were full of indignation. What are you doing? What is this you are doing? Verse 8 rather. Say, what is the purpose of this waste? What is the purpose of this waste? What was valuable to her lost value when she saw Jesus? What she heard in her eyes, the things she has lived all her life for, made no more sense when she saw Jesus. To some of us, it is money, energy, resources, your status, your time. What is valuable to you? Be sincere. What is valuable? But for this woman, what was valuable to her lost that value when she met the Lord. The disciple said, what is the purpose of this waste? She took everything and poured it on Jesus. Something of that, she made it look insignificant. You know, she just poured it on his head. Something that had value to her life. Something that had, that was precious to her. She made it look insignificant. What was this? At the sight of the Lord. That he says, what is the purpose of this waste? I can imagine Thomas. Or Judas. The other one that already like money. He's the Balaam of the New Testament. Why, man? What is the purpose of this waste? Have you heard people talk like that before? My graduate, MSc, PhD. And the only thing you can do, you are just preaching. What is the purpose of this waste? No. Tell me you have another plan. This is the plan. People say, no! How can you just, only pray. Is your problem that much? What is the purpose of the waste of time? But it was not a waste to her. It's only a waste to someone who has not seen Jesus well. It was not a waste to her. You can't waste your life on this Jesus thing now. You can't waste it now. What have you been doing? No, an old schoolmate. You finished from university together, probably from the same department. And then he knows that you are quite brilliant. You know, you are the guy that everybody looked to when you were in school. You are the one teaching them assignment. And he sees you preaching the gospel. He said, well, I thought you should be in Canada now. Oh, or at least be in Pretoria, South Africa. Probably teaching in a university. I said, no. I teach in Sunday school. He said, what is the purpose of this waste? You should have touched your brain. He said, no, I teach children the word of God. What are you asking? What are you saying? Are you going to waste your life on this Jesus? Yes. Hallelujah. What is of value to man loses value when you see Jesus. You know, when I see him, everything else becomes dung. That's what Paul said. I have counted as dung. You know what dung is? What you do in the powerhouse? That's dung. You know powerhouse? You should know it if you are in this church. Come on. Those who cling unto what they have, they've not seen Jesus. They've not met him. When you meet my true name, every other thing loses value. I like that song. When the things that surround become shadows in the light of you, every other thing becomes shadow. She didn't sell it. Mm-mm. She didn't sell it. She poured it away on him. She used all she had to serve the Lord. So on the way to serve the Lord, so now the way you will serve the Lord, your friends will think you are crazy. So come on. I asked someone, tell me, what's the rabbi? He said, okay, I understand. When we stood there, I thought, we're just doing this, normal student, pastoring, preaching thing. Yeah, now you are done. Who can use a way to continue your life? I didn't even understand what do you mean by this? The world is going to
Because I've always seen this as living. This is my own part of life. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes, he's traveling.
When he wants to travel.
He's traveling. He wants to go to the United States. And he said, yeah. My pastor. That's what you say. My pastor. No. You can't do it. I have done it. I will do it. I'll continue. What makes sense to you should lose that value when you see the Lord. But says she wasted it. She poured everything. There's no chance to convince me. I'm wasted already. I'm wasted. I will spend everything I have for this cause. I'm wasted. Look at verse 9. What he said. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Like that's what they wanted to do. Who's poor? It looks nice. That's a nice idea. A nice suggestion. That you can serve the Lord now. Why still? Doesn't mean if you go to Mississippi. That's Mississippi again. The United States. You go to Mississippi. You know, you can do online streaming. Idea. I'm not saying you not travel. That's not what I'm saying. Just put it in context of what I'm saying. You know, if you stream online, you can download teachings and listen. You will still grow spiritually. That's the kind of idea the disciples are bringing now. If we sell it for so much, we can give it to the poor. No, I want to waste it. The wasted life. I want to waste it. Praise God. Something that should have been expensive now became irrelevant. Have you ever seen people who actually they serve the Lord? When you now know when you see what they actually have achieved in the natural, you will go, wow. Have you seen them before? You have seen such people. They set the world as though they have nothing in the natural. Single. I do something like that. Back in the Bible. You will go on outreach, go on evangelism with Sanda. And only that was their house. This woman, they know her at a workplace. When you are employing her, they already know. You already know that Wednesday morning, she leads prayer for the women in our church. And so, that Wednesday morning from, I think, 10 to 1, they gave that off work. Hallelujah. I mean, they gave that off work that Wednesday morning. Don't bother. If you don't employ me, don't employ me. But if you're going to employ me, if you need my services, I am not begging too much for Wednesday morning. And I knew her like that growing up. Hallelujah. And this is my, yeah, when your house, that's when normally anybody can have car. So, that is the car. And then, you go to the gate. I said, this can't be the gate. Probably you want to greet someone here. This can't be that. You don't want to greet someone in this compound. Mercy! I said, this can't be this woman. This can't be their house. She serves the Lord like they have nothing. You won't know in the church. Say, look well, Norma. Come with nice car, Norma. You know, if you are rich, you will know. The very day won't touch you. Say, how are you doing now? You sure you're fine? And so you're taking care of yourself. How's your dad? Yeah, that's my okay. You have change. And then someone say, how's your daddy? Is everything okay? Okay, you sure please you. How are you telling me please, man? Don't tell me please. Mercy! Those are the heroes of our faith. Those are the people you want to be like. They serve the Lord, regardless of what they are. Regardless of what they possess. That is called serving the Lord. Serving the Lord comes with that kind of cost. If you still have your eyes on the treasures of this world, then you have not met Jesus. If you still have your eyes on the treasures of this world, on what this world can offer, then you have not met Him. The life that meets Jesus is exemplified in a wasted life. A wasted life. Hallelujah. My life is actually for Him. Hallelujah. I live doing what I'm doing. No, I have no single regret. If you like, be telling me, my maker, forget me. Now, here, I have no single regret. Because the best is happening to me. This is the best. This is living. I love that. This is living now. Hallelujah. Praise God. We get tempted. Start comparing yourself to your mate. This one I will finish. Instagram photo. He had good time. He didn't even know he's posting in front of someone else's car. Is that not what you heard? I've never done it before. Still in front of someone else's car. There's a move go extra mile. He catch on and say, something light. You don't want to lie, you don't want to tell the truth. When I say something like, don't say, but that's not what I can say. I just said something like, I'm talking about my post. Because you know, some people that did that, Bobby just got that car. And then you sit down on someone else's car. He didn't even catch you. Hallelujah. I live for the gospel. Money, fame, woman, accomplishments, it means nothing. It means nothing at the sight of Jesus. Nothing. Look at verse 10. Where will Jesus now see the woman? When Jesus understood it, he said to them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Jesus calls that waste a good work. Calls it a good work. Verse 13. Verily I say unto you, can we read it together? Want to go? Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the world, just as we are doing today, there shall also this, that what this woman has done, it shall be told in memorial of her. Are we doing that today? Exactly. What she has done has become an example of those who honor the gospel. What she has done has become an example of those who live for the gospel. Of those who serve the Lord with reckless abandon. So yes, few. Have I wasted my life? No, you have not. You have only placed your value on Jesus. You didn't waste your life. Sometimes it might take changing your location. Sometimes it might take changing what we do, what we like. Changing the environment, changing the people we are with. Oh, we are with. Hallelujah. Anything for the Lord. Anything. And so you place your value. You place your sense of value, your value judgment on Jesus. It is not a waste. It is on what matters. Is your life wasted on Jesus? Are there still things that you count more valuable above him? No, the man who say, no, there's nothing. You are my everything. But is that song true in your life? Is that song true? That is actually your everything. You ask yourself the right questions. Where is your sacrifice for the gospel? I talked about that last night. Where is your sacrifice for the gospel? What have you let go? What is happening? That you can say, I let go of this. Sometimes, let me just give you an example of myself. That sometimes I need some things. I want to get some things. Can I have the money like this? I'll say, no. How can I have this? We have to do this in church. How can I help you this? And you see us doing all these our small meetings. Everything's for the better. And I say, okay. I have this first. I can't die. I can't. Man, go get down. What the gospel? The work must be done. Where is your sacrifice for the gospel? Where is that thing that you can say, it's paining you. Do you have any of such? Then you have something to learn from this woman. You know, when there's no cost, there's no value. When there's no cost, there's no value. When do you want to start serving the Lord? When? Because this service is only rewarded in eternity. Jesus said, he that would follow me must take up his cross. He must take up his cross. How wasted are you? That's a question this morning. What a question. How wasted are you? If you still want to satisfy your family, your friends, your colleagues, then you have not met Jesus. You have not placed your value on him. Even his disciples say, to what purpose is this waste? People will say things. This is a waste. Hallelujah. Say, this is a waste. But it's not to me. It is value. In Luke 14, as I close this morning, Luke 14, so this is parting shot, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost? whether he has sufficient to finish it. He says, you will sit down. Yes, if you want to follow, you will sit down and count the cost. There's a cost to following the Lord. There's a cost to serving the Lord, to living for the gospel. There's a cost. Look at verse 16. We read yesterday. He said, the man did money to go supper. Then I started giving excuses. Verse 18. When he said, I just bought a piece of ground. A piece of land, banana island. Follow him. You see, the issue is not, the issue is not that everyone's going to church. Pastor, you understand? You see, I love my spiritual group. Stop the English. But you know, I work on the Atlantic Ocean. We are responsible for importing, exporting, transporting. The business is quite demanding. You have not met the Lord. Hallelujah. You have eaten. You are eaten. Who remained in the ships? Have you met the Lord? And that one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Jesus, you understand this thing now. Okay, I'll make it up to you in glory. What are you making up to? What's the deal with them? I just got here. Do you think you're doing me a favor? For coming to a meeting, well, you are the one who get, that will get blessed. You are doing me a favor. So I make it up to you. Don't make anything up to me. Don't make it up to you and your God. Very sure you are not serving the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you making it up to you? That's wrong for me. I'm making up. I'll make it up to you. Shut up first. Don't put your life together. You will sit down. You will count the cost. It means it will cost you something. There's a cost of discipleship. The way how Sis Brown said it. There's a cost of discipleship. To this man, it was his land. Leave that land, follow me. That's what Jesus said. Leave those oxen, whatever. Follow me. And I'm saying, I just got married. He tells something. It's not about it. I just got married. And yet, so I say, No. Just what I said, and so what? Okay, I don't understand. Just got married. Okay, you just come with your wife. You follow me. So you count the cost. The cost are legitimate things. They're not sin, no. It's not sin. It's not sin. Legitimate things. Legitimate things. But now look at what happened to them. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. He showed the Lord their excuses. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, say what? Go out quickly into the streets. Thank you, Jesus. And lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the maimed, the old and the blind. I won't be replaced. I will never be replaced because of my silly excuses. Well, the Lord is just telling you that you are indispensable. You are not indispensable, rather. There's nobody that cannot be replaced. Don't think you're doing him a favor. At the point in the Old Testament, he said, don't you think I can raise up stones? You're not indispensable. No matter how much you are doing today, if you stop it, the Lord has 7,000 more men who has not bowed their heads to bow. Workmen. Men who will lay down their necks. Men who actually did the work also. Apart from you did it. You're not indispensable. You're not. I tell myself that often. I'm not indispensable. I know God to actually use someone else. He is the Lord. The Almighty God. So you walk on your life, pray for me very well. You're not indispensable. He says, why didn't they come? He didn't say go and beg them again. He just said, you know where you go? Go to the streets. Go to the highways. Go to the city. Go and bring in everybody. The poor. The maimed. The halt. The blind. I don't want to be replaced for what the Lord is doing. I don't want to be found missing. In what the Lord is doing in the nations of the earth. I'll be at my duty post. I will serve him with my life. I will waste this life on him. I will waste it on him. I will waste it on him. My value is on Jesus. He alone is my reward. He determines where I go, what I do, the things I esteem. You see, Elijah said that. That led to verse 26. If any man come to me and eat not his father, his mother and wife, children, brethren, sisters, of course, he used to prefer for and even his own life. What did he say? He cannot be my disciple. He can't be my disciple. These are the words of Jesus. He didn't put it in his mouth. He said, I won't be called my disciple. You prefer me before his father. How much more? Before your friend. You will prefer me before his mother. You will prefer me before his sister. Not just that. You will prefer me before himself. Jesus wants your attention before you will look at yourself. And in case you're not ready, he's telling you, you are not indispensable. Verse 27. Now whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That is, there's something that you have to carry. It's a cross, a weight. Talk about sacrifice. Things that you have to let go. Things that you have to now. Things that you already but not even like. No, you don't even like going to the street and talking to people. Where's your cross? You carry it. The gospel is not about what you like. I said that earlier. It's not about, it's not an hobby. You are a receptionist. You are not like talking to people. Why didn't you have an employer as a receptionist? Can't be working in death and burn now. Hallelujah. Says you must carry your cross. That's 28. For which of you intending to build a tower, seeketh not down and count the cost. Count the cost. How I want you to do this morning? Count the cost. Count the cost. Count the cost. That's 29 says, yes, happily. After you have laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. And behold, this that behold is now begun to mock him. Count the cost. There's always a cost, and that is marriage. Tonight is a time for frivolities. Tonight, that money that you want to go and use to eat. Treat yourself, Adi. Is that what you call it? I don't want you to treat yourself. And then you say, no. Why not give it to us this cost? Asha. Adi? Is that not Asha? Count the cost. Count the cost. The man is your job. Why have you not switched the job? Since all that. He went for an 85,000 naira paying job. When he was actually offered almost 300 and something. The 300 is only on Sundays. Emergency, traveling away. And he blessed on the morning. Every 2 weeks. So, you bless on two Sundays, close on two Sundays, like that. And some people are like, I think I'll be present two Sundays. Thank you. This money will be for the work. No. Is there any way we can do it? I think they are going to do it any Sunday. He said, no. He said, no. Also, I think they are available on Wednesday. Said, we are still talking about Sunday. You're talking Wednesday. Work day. There is a greater work. Hallelujah. There is a more important work. What's your thought is that actually, there is a more important work. How many Christians can give that away? When you have 70k, 50k job, you've already even denied Jesus. You already denied Jesus on 50k. They now offer you a millionaire that they don't want to see in church forever. And they bring you a millionaire and say, I'm blessed of the Lord. You are heard that after all, you are building. He said, you have made that you have built us a spiritual house. God is everywhere. even in hell. Okay. Hallelujah. The crown of us. That woman wasted it all. I can't make nothing anymore. But in your pastor, you know, you have drained on everything. There's nothing anymore. There's nothing anymore. The job left nothing anymore. At the size of the of Jesus. Everything she wants up there. She planted as lost. Hallelujah. Everything she wants embraced and no, this is my life. My career. She now planted as lost. For the sake of Christ. Where is your sacrifice? I'm asking that. Where is your consecration? What is it? What is that thing that does it? I have given this to the Lord. And I will do it again and again. What matters to you? No, before the Lord, sometimes it's a waste. But before Jesus, it's value. And it's telling you, just endure to the end. And I will give you a crown of life. A crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Where is your sacrifice? Where is your consecration? Where is that thing that takes only Jesus with you? I see you to say, bring it or let it go. You are ready and willing. Jesus says, this is the true trait of a disciple. The moment we have things that we value above our spiritual goals, things we value above what the Lord is telling us, above the work with us, it's how they worship. It's how they worship. You're already serving another God that you don't know. We sought to, but that's what the enemy does. While men slept, he will plant tares among the weeds. He will make you that, it's not the work I'm doing. It's not just for the sake of the gospel. It's not. There is a working on you. That's what God does. That's what he's still doing. Convince his Christian. Okay. He's only meeting some of you are missing now. Outside of. But when he's still here. He said, but you know you need that car, right? You know you need that car. But you know you need that trip. So, where are you going now? Dubai? Where are the people? So, when I'm talking about natural things, I'm always looking at you. What's it? And I look at you and I just say, Dubai? That trip to Dubai just needs to relax. Man's up. Man's not all that. Huh? Man's warm. That's what Jesus said now. There's another who could not. Man, I just need to. Chew nerves, have you? Chew some nerves. I don't know what it is. I don't chew the nerves is there. Chew some nerves. No, what else? What is it? Chew life. Man. What's going on? Chew life nerves. I don't know. Hands in the past. So I was giving for missionaries. Who's got a missionary to do that? Is that a research center? Where you know me was in this one? You know where that you are there? Language. Where you are there? And the only thing you could have is pictures. Shame. You don't find the cost. You don't find the cost. Am I saying you don't pity yourself? Oh, wow. It doesn't hurt you. It's a good day for you. None of the response of the work. You believe the gospel, you live the gospel, you preach it, and you now live for the gospel. That is Christian service. Until your life becomes that wasted life. When is it? You have wasted your life. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. Time that you're meant to be doing research. Now, do you want to study dialogue with the prophet?
I put this time into research, scientific research. Yeah, I told me. The scientific research. You get something out of it.
That you get in this world. And then I get. When the man, now you forget. And also when they innovated the lighter. You know that press the press.
Ah, lighter. All you have to do is press.
Oh, you now innovate a bomb. There's a lighter. All things become shadow. And I don't know, you can go to the moon. See, they can't be an IS innovator. Before you know, you say, ah, we have found a way we can go to the sun. The only way we start with same God. It's white, white baby. So why spend time at the expense of the work of Christ? That you won't be rewarded in eternity. Not a Nobel Prize. Eternity. The Lord Himself will give you the crown of life. I would rather waste my life for this. I will waste you. But that's my value. That's the cost. That's my service. I want to be seen preaching Jesus in every nation. In every language. How to have interpreters? Interpreting the gospel. Interpreting how to get filled with the Holy Ghost. In Portuguese. That's what I want. I want you to hear the gospel in French. How do we hear gospel in their native language? I want to hear people speaking in tongues. I want to see Arab nations lifting up holiness and blessing the Father. And I will see it. To happen. To happen. Because I will waste my life on this course. This is my desire. This is my reward. So must learn to put our attention in the right places. Jesus already gave us the criteria of a true disciple. He will climb the course. He will climb his course. And he will prefer the Lord before himself. If your desire still obstructs the work of God, then this morning you need to repent. You need to turn around. Make a U-turn. And give your life to the Lord again. Challenge you this morning. I want the Lord pointed to us in that woman who wasted her resource. She now became an example to those who honor the gospel. I challenge you this morning to check your heart. Count the cost. Count the cost. Live your life with a true soldier. You don't thank yourself with the things of this world. Have money. Only what you have in you. Have houses. Have a good job. But don't let your job have you. Don't let your job have everything you don't think about. The disciples are starving. You don't even know you are disciples. There's nobody you are visiting. I want them to be fresh. I meet my by the tongue of the church. There's nobody you are visiting. Nobody is going in Christ. You don't say, you are not even going in Christ. You are not even sure you are in Christ. There's a need for a turnaround. Be a true disciple. If the Lord is truly Lord of your life, if Jesus is actually Lord of your life, then it's Lord over your finances. Then it's Lord over your job. It's Lord over your pleasures. Those who lack sometimes, you know, it's good to have it. Good health, you need good health for the work. But not at the expense of what the Lord is doing. I want to be found, spent for Him. I want to be spent and be spent for the work of the Lord. This is what will happen. Amen. Let's pray for yourself. Pray for yourself this morning.